Hey, everybody, welcome to the Debt Flip Pinball Podcast. This is the first episode. My name is Nick.
And I'm Jack. And we're here in our first episode to just figure out what the hell we're doing with this podcast.
Yeah, so we've been playing pinball for a few years and playing tournaments, doing all this stuff, and listening to pinball podcasts as well. And we thought we might want to try making a pinball podcast for people to learn how to play pinball better.
Right, for the players.
For the players.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of great pinball podcasts I've been listening to out there. There's Spooky Pinball, and he's really cool because he actually builds his own games.
Charlie,
and
yeah.
You've been listening to some other podcasts
as
well.
Yeah, so I've been listening to the pinball podcast with those Don and Jeff guys, and it's primarily more like life and collecting pinball machines and a little bit of news. But if you want like the hard-hitting drama, like this is the important pinball news, Nate Shivers over at Coast to Coast Pinball.
Oh, yeah. I've checked out a few of his episodes.
He's got what you need. He sounds professional. He just knows what he's doing. And he's a salesman. He like works at a guitar shop or something. And like
nice.
He just knows how to sell it.
Yeah. So we've been listening to these other podcasts and we go, well, let's try it. Let's hop in. We got our mics here. We're staring at each other in a room. And we figured this will be the podcast for people that are learning how to play pinball or people that have been playing pinball for a long time but want to be better at the game. How do you learn how to be better at the game, how to play better, how to do those tricks and how to learn the rules? And then also, how do you show up to these tournaments that everyone seems to be having these days and
just
like compete?
Blowing them apart, yeah.
Right.
Also, hopefully we can sort of acclimate some people to, you know, some of the newer people into what we're doing. Like, because I feel like if you walk up to, you know, an AC/DC and you're just flapping, you know, maybe we can give some like beginner's pointers to, you know.
I think that's a good point. There's a lot of, it's easy to assume everyone knows this stuff if you're into pinball. But, you know, we're out in Chicago where there's not a lot of tournaments in friends' basements and stuff. You know, it's all out in the public.
Totally.
We get to interact with new people that have been play pinball, and a lot of them are interested, but they don't know even how to play.
Right.
You know, like even that you could play two players.
Yeah.
You know,
the sad thing was, like, up until maybe 2 or 3 years ago, there wasn't even really pinball to be played in Chicago, even though this is, you know, pinball mecca.
Right.
This is
where they're all made.
But you'd find like one crappy, you know, pinball machine in a dive bar where beers are a dollar and the thing is tilted to the side and nothing works. And
yeah, and actually that was the state of pinball in Chicago pretty much everywhere. Good games here and there, but kind of few and far between, and really no real places to go play.
It's
and only
sad.
In the last 2-3 years now we have, you know, six.
Oh, we have barcades like up the wazoo
places. I mean, it's everywhere. So I guess that brings us to, like, you know, how we started. You know, we can give kind of a basic intro on why we're here, what got us into pinball, and it all was about almost four years ago.
I'd say about four, yeah.
And I got into it from being in San Francisco. I was out there working with my friends, and I was staying at their place, and at night they would all go home, and I would stay in the office and kind of didn't know anybody, and so I would just walk around and look for places. And one place, it was a laundromat. They had three games.
Is that the laundromat that has the Big Bang Bar in it?
No, this one is called Brainwash Cafe,
it is. Absolutely.
And it's a laundromat / coffee house in San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
And they had a Flintstones, I want to say a Terminator 2, and a World Cup Soccer.
Like Flintstones, the big goofy kids one, or the Flintstones that was like with John Goodman?
Yeah, the John Goodman.
Oh, barf.
That's a weird one. But that one played okay, and the Terminator played okay, and I just went to the corner to play. Well, that got me interested enough to look around the rest of San Francisco. I found other places. Anyway, well, you know, we could tell longer stories in other episodes,
but
you know, that just kind of got me into it. And then it dawned on me, this is a hobby that I used to really be into when I was in high school.
Totally.
And then, you know, college comes and you get busy or whatever. And then all of a sudden I realized, like, I could get back into this. Like, I'm going to go to Chicago. I'm going to find all the games around and start to learn and start to play. And eventually never found really great games around Chicago. So started my own collection. And that's where kind of Jack comes into this whole mess.
Yeah, for sure. There's also, I guess, to hop back onto your point, it's sort of that thing also where when you're an adult, you also realize, you know, you see these things around and you're like, well, crap, I can like buy these things. Like that's just something that never dawned on you. And you're like, I can just own this now. Like,
right. You go from a poor like student. Right.
Yeah.
To somebody that has a job, but you're so busy learning and trying to become better at that first job you have.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're grown up and you start to like you get raises, you get, you know, better at your work. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, it'd be so cool to own a pinball machine. And then you go, wait, I can.
And like the prices are all over the place. But yeah, it was just that moment. Like, I remember when I figured out like I can just go out and buy fruit snacks. Like that's a thing. It blew my mind. Anyway, so
that was like my first taco.
Yeah.
When I first moved to Chicago, I walked past a taco joint and I was like, man, taco sounds really good right now. And
to buy me a taco.
Yeah. And then I was like, wait a minute. It was like my Homer Simpson moment. Like, wait, I have money. Wait, I have money in my pocket. Right, I can just walk in and get a taco and take it home. I didn't know that was a thing. Like I've never gotten food unless it was in my car because I was from the suburbs. But in the city, I was like, you could just buy a taco.
You just go in there. Who cares?
And take it home. I could watch TV. Anyway.
Yeah. So my introduction to pinball was, you know, I've seen machines around like growing up throughout the years. And I can't really recall any moment where I was like, oh, crap, you like pinball. This is awesome. But there was a circumstance where we were building out our space in the West Loop, and one of the Dead Flip members, Brad Stark, he bought Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings.
He bought a Lord of the Rings, and he was like, Jack, I need a place to put this damn thing. And the studio wasn't even halfway built out. And I was like, you know, we'll just throw it in a corner or whatever. And we just decided to hook it up, and the second we turned that thing on, that was it. Like, we were freezing cold, there was no heat in here.
It's actually right here where I'm sitting.
Yeah, we're in that room.
We're in the what used to be the pinball room is now turned into the video streaming podcasty room.
Like if I laid down and put my arms above my head, I'd be touching both walls, and we had three pins in here.
It's a pretty tiny little room.
Yeah.
But so he brought the Lord of the Rings in.
Brought Lord of the Rings, and then not too soon after, he bought Judge Dredd. And then not too soon after that, you bought your
My first
Twilight
game was
Zone.
The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I thought about what game I wanted as my first game. I didn't ever want to sell my first game, you know. I wanted my first game to, like, try to stay in my collection forever. I felt like...
It's like your cornerstone of your collection that you'll always have, and, like, you'll pass it down to your kid or, like, some...
Exactly.
Who cares?
So I didn't want to buy a less expensive game that I didn't love. I just wanted to, like go all out. Like a what?
Like a Flintstone.
Like a Flintstones. So anyway, you know, I know we said we were talking about how to play pinball, and we're giving our life stories
like we used to.
But this is kind of how we got into it, right? So now we're still in the same studio. We work here, but we also have pinball games here. So I have games here. Our buddy Brad, who we talked about with the Lord of the Rings, has a Fishtails here. And we're up to 12 games right now.
Yeah, we have a lot of machines here.
I'd say... 8 of them are mine, and then we also have some other ones kind of like on loan from our friends of ours.
Yep.
So, you know, we're trying out different games, and once we got to a certain amount of games, we started throwing tournaments. You know, we started going to tournaments, we started seeing people, you know, meeting new people, and they saw our collection, and they go, well, you guys should have a downtown tournament.
Yeah, because we absolutely have more machines than, like, a lot of the bars around here, not counting, like...
Especially then. Yeah.
And also, you know, going to these tournaments, we were able to see how they were running them so that we could then translate that information back to, you know, how we wanted to run ours.
Yeah, so we kind of came at a lot of this by going to tournaments pretty early on and kind of sucking pretty bad lot of tournaments. We, you know, at the time... The big monthly tournament was the GameWorks tournament in Schaumburg. Which is a suburb here in Chicago.
It's about an hour north of here, and it was not easy.
Not easy to get to, especially during rush hour and all that. But that was really all we had. We had Expo, which happens once a year.
Big conference.
And that's also when we started going to the Midwest Gaming Classic. I don't think you went to the first one, but you've been to the last.
I went to the second one. We went to the second one, and we took first and second place in that tournament.
That's right. And that's right. Well, that, B division.
Yeah, sorry. Let's keep it straight.
So, you know, as we started going to these tournaments, we started meeting some really nice people. And then we also started watching all these pinball documentaries. Like, we were really soaking in as much pinball information as we could.
Yep.
And then we realized that half the people in these pinball documentaries We're the same people.
People we were hanging out with.
Yeah. That we were hanging out with. We're like, wait a minute, that's Roger Sharp.
Yeah, they're all like, you know, idolizing Roger Sharp. And I'm like, yeah, that's that old dude we were talking
to. He's the nice guy with the mustache,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, super cool guy.
And they're like, yeah, but do you know his story? You know, do you know the story behind him? And everyone was starting to tell us, and we start reading about him and watching a documentary.
And we're like, it's weird seeing like this big sort of like full featured documentary that everyone talks about, and you knew the people before this, like before experiencing this documentary.
Yeah.
And it just felt a little surreal, like seeing, you know, Josh Sharp talk about his dad and stuff. And you're like, I was literally just asking that dude how to, you know, blow up Barracoa or whatever it's called.
So, I mean, so we've been lucky to have these people around and to kind of cheat a little bit.
Oh God. Yeah. It's cheating.
To ask these, you know, number top 10 players that are at these tournaments we were going to, Jason Werdrick, Josh Sharp, Zach Sharp,
Art Dodd, Dave Hagee,
Henderson.
Yep, Josh Henderson.
Josh Henderson, who's taken off.
He was like 13 or something when we started playing pinball, man.
Right, and he was kicking all of
our
butts.
Now he's driving around, hanging out in bars. No, probably
not.
So
we were really lucky. We were interested in pinball. We were interested in becoming better players. Yeah. We went to Schaumburg and got our butts kicked every month. We threw our own tournaments and got our butts kicked there.
Yep.
And, you know, everyone was nice enough, at least after they beat us, to say, hey, this is how you get better.
Yeah, absolutely. And a nice thing to have is like a good coach or like a good sport of a person that you're playing against.
Yeah.
That you can come up to and be like, listen, man, I don't know this game. You know, just tell me in like the sort of Cliff Notes version, how do I blow this up?
Yeah.
You know, and Zach Sharp, we've been so lucky to have that guy. And whenever we play him, we'll ask him straight out, like, if we're playing him one-on-one, yo, what do I do on this? And he's, even while he's playing, he'll be like, just shoot this ramp and the points will come. Like, and that's all you have to do.
Right. So, this is kind of a little on the fly. We didn't talk about this, but here's what I'm thinking. If this is really the first episode and this is, you know, not just for collectors that know all this stuff and general people, this is for players.
Players.
I think this is where we should take, you know, 5-10 minutes and describe to maybe somebody that is new to pinball, is maybe has just played it a couple times, play it whenever they're at their bar. Maybe they played it when they were younger and they know how to play a little bit. They know how to catch the ball and stuff. Let's run through a few things that somebody can learn that we've learned from all these great players.
Right, like basic flipper maneuvers, like
some basic chill things to start. And I'll even start before I'm going to go real early and remind everybody that you can actually play two players at a time.
Oh God, yes.
On a pinball machine.
Big thing that people don't seem to understand.
And we see this a lot at the bars.
Yeah, oh yeah. That you'll see like three people taking turns.
Yeah, one game at a time.
Yeah, and the second you walk up and you're like, yo, and you hit that start button three times. But even then, it's still a little confusing for them because they will want to play all three balls.
Right.
Like one person will want to stand there and play all three balls. They don't understand the, like, you're done, next person's turn.
So this is really basic. And, you know, skip forward a few minutes if you know all this stuff. But
yeah.
I think, you know, it's important to keep in mind when there's new people, and there seems to be a lot of new people coming into pinball. I think it's important to always remember when there's new people involved that they're – is stuff that they don't know that is
absolutely
so stupid obvious to us. So, and the stuff that we see is like, you could play more than one player at a time, put in, you know, if it's two credits or if it's one credit for one, you put in double the credits, you put the start button twice, and then you alternate. First player plays first ball, second player plays their first ball, and then you go back and forth. And you could do that up to four people,
depending on the machine. Yeah.
So you could do that. Next is you could get a skill shot. Is that something we could describe over a pinball, a microphone?
I guess that might be a little more
visual.
Because that is like very dependent on a machine. Like the skill shot on the new Star Trek Stern is way different than the one on Twilight Zone.
Right.
But I guess, okay, here's what I would say is number two. Is at the bottom left, on the when you're looking at the machine, near your left hand will be a card all the rules on how to basically play the entire machine.
Yep.
And it doesn't go in depth of like all the crazy nuances and like super deep rules, but it'll teach you everything you need to know to just get into the game and tear it up.
It'll say some basic stuff like hit this enough times to start this multi-ball.
Like, spell this word to get this point.
And that's a good thing to look at.
Yeah. You'll see a lot of people.
I think you're right. The skill shot's a little tough, but I would say directly after that, you should look at whatever's flashing.
Oh, flashing, absolutely.
So, you know, you have to remember that the people that coded and made these games and created these games in order to really, these games are really made to take your tokens and your quarters.
Yes.
That's really what what they were designed to do. They're like slot machines in a way that they want to make this game as entertaining as possible and also as short as possible so that you play a game, get hooked, and continue to feed this thing quarters.
Yeah.
So it's in their best interest as well to make a game that is kind of a little bit easier to get into. So one thing you could do is look at the lights, because they know this, and they want to put a light next to the thing that's your next objective.
Yep.
And you can actually shoot that, and you usually get progress toward multi-ball or more points or a small jackpot when it comes to ACDC. Yeah, whatever game you're on, they're pretty good about it.
Absolutely. The designers are pretty good about showing you like your plan of attack as far as like when you're in the middle of it. Because you can't display too much information on the DMD if you're in the middle of a good ball, because you don't want to be looking up. So, like, the play field, definitely sometimes, like, you'll even see, like, most of the play field to go dark and, like, just a light underneath a ramp will be lit. And that's, you know, absolutely what you need to be shooting next. Yeah.
And then I get, without getting too into flipper details, look up some flipper skills.
The dead
flip. It's going to be a little, that's where dead flip came from. Yeah.
It's the easiest flipper maneuver in pinball, folks. You do nothing. It is absolutely not doing anything.
Yeah, it works great.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I would say as like a last little tip for beginners is go watch a video from somebody that's a kind of a more of a pro player and watch how they play.
Oh, yes.
You'll see some big differences. You'll see them flip less. You'll see them aim and hit the shots that they want to hit and not just randomly flip. And I think really just by watching maybe a tutorial by Bowen.
Bowen Cairns, totally.
Yeah, Bowenkerins, I think.
Papa.org has all the pinball tutorials on them.
Yeah, and just go watch somebody that is, you know, in the top 100, and usually if they have a video out, they probably are.
Exactly. And the cool
and
thing
go
about...
see how they play.
Yeah, the cool thing about the Papa tutorials also is they're categorized by game. So if you remember like a Circus Voltaire from back in the day that your dad had in the basement, you know, you could look that up and see exactly like what your dad was doing to beat your ass when you were playing pinball and you couldn't figure anything out, because, you know, Bowen will show you how to blow that game apart.
Okay, so speaking of
kicking butt, I shouldn't have said the A word. I apologize.
That's okay. We have to decide, you know,
are we swearing or are we not swearing?
Are we PG-13? Are we PG? I think we should, I think we should keep it to a minimum.
What's the 17 one?
Oh, that's pretty heavy. I think we need visuals to break those rules.
Oh, we'd have to show boobs.
Yeah.
Our own boobs, of course.
We're both shirtless right now.
It gets really hot in this room.
But it's warm. There's not a lot of ventilation. I figure what we could do, and maybe we do this every episode, I'm not sure. We could talk about one game, and we could say, how would you approach this game to just beat your friend, like get enough points to be decent, but then how would you approach this game to blow it up?
Get a high score, because that is absolutely two different approaches. If you're playing in a tournament, you're not trying to get the biggest monster score, because that's a very heavy risk reward thing there.
Right.
But when you're playing, you know, like, you know, Mike Johnson over here, and I'm sorry if there really is a Mike Johnson. If you're playing a Mike Johnson and he has 4 million and you have 1 million, you don't want to go for the dangerous shots. You want to go for what's going to get you that like remaining edge to just very barely knock him out, unless you know how to, you know, blow it up otherwise.
Right. So we talked earlier about having two players at the same time, and that's how a lot of these tournaments go down.
Oh, yes.
So you're going to have two players at once, and the high score usually moves on, you know, or obviously moves on, but usually there's just one game. High score moves on. And if you're down by 3 million and all you need is 3 million, then you should play a game differently than if you need 100 million.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it's risk reward. You got to do the right thing. So I'm thinking AC/DC is what we're playing on the live stream this week.
Yes, we are.
How would you approach AC/DC on a, like, I just need to beat somebody new or something basic? How would you describe maybe it's this way. How would you tell somebody new to AC/DC what to do to get the highest score without knowing a ton about it? What's the cliff notes?
Oh, man. So there's a couple approaches that I'd like to take, but my absolute beginner way of telling someone how to blow up AC/DC is, well, first off, you get to choose your song, and your song changes how you make money in this game. Money, points, whatever. You get the idea.
It's all cash money.
Yeah, actual real dollar bills come out of this thing. So Thunderstruck is a mode that revolves around pretty much missing the ramps, which you're going to do as a beginner. And there's like two targets on either side of both ramps, and if you accidentally hit those, which you will, it lights up every shot, and those shots are just worth all the points in the world. You just, you know, beat the crap out of it. But the approach that I tell everyone for any song that they're playing is learn those ramps and just rock those ramps, because ramps will get you to your very first multi-ball, and then just keep ramping out all day. Ramp, 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 ramp. And when you get it in the cannon, shoot the bell, get your 2X, blah, blah, blah. But ramps are the most important. And I will tell anyone that, like, if you can learn to backhand the left and right ramps, you have that game on lock. No one's going to touch you.
Yeah.
Like, even that being, like, my quick answer, you will dominate somebody if you can manage those backhands.
You got 200 million by just doing that yesterday. Yep. Like,
I would just
ramp, ramp, yep, ramp, multi-ball, bell.
Left flipper. All day. Left flipper to the left ramp. It comes right back down to the left flipper. Left ramp, just on the fly. And as soon as jam multi-ball lights up because you've hit enough ramps, send it over to the right ramp, play it out. When your multi-ball's done, grab a ball, post-pass it or whatever you want to the left flipper, yep, ramp, 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 put it back up the right ramp, jam multi-ball. It's a little boring.
Yep.
It could be sort of nerve-wracking, because if you make the same shot five times in a row, your sixth shot will not go in the same place. Your brain right, just will not let it happen.
Well, you know, that. I mean, even that's advanced, right? Like, if somebody's brand new, maybe it's Shook Me All Night Long too. Maybe
for,
that's another
for pop
one.
Bumpers. But the thing that concerns me about that is, and that used to be something I used to tell people right off the bat,
you gotta get it back up there.
You gotta get it back up there, man. And yeah, those orbits are tight. I myself still struggle getting it up there sometimes, especially that right one.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I would agree. Thunderstruck is a good kind of, you know, if you're not hitting your shots, yep, you're doinking around a little bit.
If you're flailing and doinking and kugging, you're accidentally hitting those, and it just lights up the board. I mean, it literally lights up the board. Yeah. Every shot just turns blue on the premium, and it just hit it all.
Okay, so to blow it up, so, you know, you do that strategy. You do it. If you get to your first multi-ball, you can play through that. You know, you're gonna at least get 15 million, 20 million if you get to your first multi-ball.
Absolutely.
I think that's really what you're telling somebody,
yeah,
is. If you miss some shots, that's cool, but learn your ramps, get to the first multi-ball, because even if you get through that multi-ball, you're going to at least get some points, even if you're still doinking around a little bit.
That's correct.
That's pretty good. So, okay, so AC/DC, and this game is probably the a funny one to pick for the first episode, because
yeah,
the rules...
The rules are infinite.
There's still rules we don't know,
yep,
like the loop. How do you even get loop modes going and
like,
all that stuff?
I feel we're getting a lot better at pinball, and there's still a wizard mode on this thing that we have never even seen.
Not even
like Encore.
Close to.
No, we even tried adjusting the game to be easier. Still couldn't frickin' hit it.
No,
we got like 8 out of 12 songs.
It's pretty hard.
Ugh.
But. So without going into all the strategy behind AC/DC, which you can go find out there, like I said, there's great videos by Bowen.
Right. But if you look at the videos by Bowen, those are a little dated. They're old codes.
They are old codes.
He might tell you to do Highway to Hell or something when that actually isn't the big payout anymore. This code has been, for you folks, this code's been rewritten like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And every iteration of this code has been exploited for a certain song. So, like, originally it used to be, like, War Machine or Rock and Roll Train.
Yep.
And then it turned into Highway to Hell, which Highway to Hell, if you wanted 10 million, ball one, in, like, you know, 30 seconds, it was achievable. Because you just plunge it, get it in there, hit your points, came into the cannon, collect the jackpot, 10 million. No sweat.
Yep.
Now they changed that up. You're lucky to get like a 2 million coming out of there.
I had to play it yesterday, and it was, what did I get? 3, 2?
It's a little brutal.
Two or 3 mil coming out of there?
Yeah, it used to pay out big, and they they definitely recoded that. Thunderstruck was a fan favorite for a good long time. And honestly, the Sharp Brothers still sometimes say they like to play it.
I've seen you do, you actually got a lot on Thunderstruck yesterday.
I think that pays out more for me than the mode we're about to talk about. Because the mode we're about to talk about is a little more planning.
It's a lot more planning,
but the payout, if you can plan it correctly, is just disgusting.
And what we're talking about is Hell's...
Hell's Bells. Bells. My man. What
a
jam.
And we're... And like I mentioned earlier, we're learning about this as well by going to these tournaments and also by watching them. Papa is doing a big move for streaming all the big tournaments now. Yep. And they'll stream all the tournaments, and they'll also do commentary on top of the tournament while it's playing. That's actually pretty good.
It helps a lot.
That's a pretty good place to go watch, too. If you see a game you want to learn that is in one of those big tournaments, go back and watch some Papa TV restreams. And, in fact, there's some AC/DC stuff that is where I've learned this Hell's Bells technique, which is getting something they call a VIP pass. And the VIP pass you actually get, and this is where AC/DC gets crazy.
Oh, man.
I don't even think we have time to go down
pull
this whole thing.
Pull out your pads and pens, folks.
But anyway, you get VIP pass by getting your skill shot, which you could look up. And if you played AC/DC, you probably already know. But once you have your VIP pass, that VIP pass will give you a shot that you need. And if you save that VIP pass for when you have multi-ball, it will progress you through multi-ball to potentially give you an add-a-ball as well.
Right. What it does is when you're in a multi-ball, you have to hit every major shot, all five shots. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, all five shots. So it's the left loop, the left ramp, the bell, the right ramp, and the right loop. If you hit all those, you get an add-a-ball. Your ball save pops back on. But the great thing about the VIP is if you have like four of your shots made, but not a fifth one, and let's say you drained one, like most or all your balls, you have that split second to spend one of your VIPs, and it'll give you that last shot you needed to bring your entire multi-ball back to life.
And what's important about Hell's Bells is that it also gives you a bell hit for free.
And the bell hits progress your multiplier.
That's the only mode that will do that.
Yeah.
Because you're on the Hell's Bells mode, when you hit that VIP, you're also getting a bell hit. And what that means is you can progress towards 2 and 3X.
Playfield multiplier.
Playfield, which is what the bell gives you.
Yeah.
So, you know, without going super detailed or crazy, because with AC/DC...
We could have a whole podcast about AC/DC rules.
Right. But that has been our way of trying to get super big scores, and especially with things like album multiball or tour multiball, where you can get double your jackpot.
God, yeah.
There's another thing I don't want to get into, but...
Dude, folks, all you need to know is chronological discography.
Oh, gosh.
Was worked into this game.
It's probably my favorite game because of those reasons, because how deep the code is.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about some other games and other future episodes,
hopefully. I'm sure we'll even come back to AC/DC because, like, it's just, there's so much to cover.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll figure out how to do that. Maybe people can bug us on Twitter or do all that stuff.
Yeah.
That reminds me.
You got to go.
There you go. There's an episode. Yeah. We had a hard out here at the studio. I gotta take off, but that's 40, 45 minutes. I don't know. Maybe we can, go a little bit longer next time.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
I'm okay with that. I think we're
like once this gets rolling, we could talk for hours, honestly, if there wasn't a time constraint.
Well, that's good to keep in mind.
And there is a time constraint.
I screwed it all up. But we should go for now and say that we'll try this again.
Yeah, folks. So thanks for tuning in.
If people want to bug you on Twitter and ask you a question, where would they bug you?
Yeah, so go on Twitter. It's a dead flip. It's dead underscore flip.
Oh, there you go.
We're on Instagram, we're on freaking Facebook, we're on all the social medias. If you just type dead flip and then pinball in Google, you're going to get something.
And this is actually something we're working on now as well, but it should be up by the time this podcast is up.
Oh, the website. Just
go to deadflip.com.
Yeah, deadflip.com.
And that'll have all the details for any of the streaming things. Another thing we didn't talk about, we stream pinball.
Every day, 2 hours a day.
Every day at 5 o'clock. Central time.
Yeah.
So check that out if you're interested in
twitch.tv/dead_flip.
Yep. Yep. And or head to deadflip.com and we'll try to queue it up right there.
Yeah. Sexy photos of us
with our shirts off.
With our shirts off.
Yep, nothing but the best,
which
folks.
Which you can't do on Twitch, unfortunately, but anyway.
Perfect. Yeah, come bug us. If you have any questions about pinball, bring them Wednesdays at the live stream or hit us up on Twitter, and we'll try to, I don't know, answer it in another episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you folks have questions that you need answered immediately, we stream Monday through Friday. Just meet us on Twitch, and we'll talk to you.
I guess that's it. Thanks to all the other podcasts that are doing this. And
yeah, man.
Got
shout
us
out
thinking
to the,
about
the
all this
Pinball
stuff.
Podcast. Shout out to Coast with
Spooky.
Nate Shivers. Spooky, definitely. Pinheads. Everybody. There are so many pinball podcasts out there. Some of them do them weekly. Some of them do them monthly. They all have great information. They're all very knowledgeable with the news and stuff. We're just trying to give you something a little more in the trenches of playing, I guess.
Yeah, and you know what? One last little note. We're new to this, so we're not experts by any stretch of the imagination.
No. Goodness.
We're just new to this hobby in the last couple years, trying to ask as many smart questions as we can to people that actually know this stuff.
Yep.
And we just like talking about it. So, you know, if you have something to add or whatever, we'd like to learn more about this kind of stuff.
Tell us what we're saying wrong for.
Yeah.
Swearing too much. If I'm a big mouth breather, I apologize.
All right, folks. Thanks for stopping. Though.
Yeah,
we'll
thanks for coming,
one.
Nick.
Oh, and we have a catchphrase. We have and remember, keep flipping.
Keep flipping. That might be Josh Henderson's.
Is it?
He signed a photo for me 4 years ago that said keep flipping.
Oh no, did we steal his catchphrase?
I think so.
Do we need a new one?
Don't
drain.
Keep swipping.
Keep hitting those
My
ramps.
Man. All right, folks. We'll figure it out.
All right. Hit those ramps, friends.
Hit those ramps. There you go.
We'll see ya.
All right.
Goodbye. Bye, everybody.